Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Proverbs chapter 9 this morning. And we are actually, Lord willing, going to bring to a conclusion our series on overcoming selfishness. I hope you're excited about that. Hallelujah. You know, we just been talking about it. This is like our fourth teaching on overcoming selfishness, you know, because I know we don't need this, but, you know, we're just taking some preventative stuff here. How many have got dealt with, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many have gotten dealt with about some things during this preaching and teaching? I know I have. You know, the Lord dealt with me, you know, and all. And so it's been doing some good things. So we've been titling, you know, this is number four, but we've been titling these differently. And this morning I'm going to call this one, How to Live a Blessed Life. How many want to live a blessed life? And so we're going to just talk about some things. I like what Pastor Jerry said, you know, you got to have repetition sometimes too. Amen. Hear it over and over again because, you know, you forget, right? If I ask you what I preached on Wednesday night, probably most of you that were here forgot. My wife didn't. I didn't actually. I was in a series. Actually, it was in the prayer series. I've been in the prayer series on Wednesday night, and I was getting ready to preach on Wednesday night. You know, and I thought, well, what am I going to preach on tonight? Now, what am I going to preach on? And I began to think about some things, and all of a sudden, it dawned on me. Wait a minute, I'm in a series on prayer. I'm preaching on prayer. So I can't get on to you too much, but you know, we want to hang on to the word. Amen. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 9. Everybody say this: How to Live a Blessed Life. Proverbs chapter 9, and let's go to verse 10. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, you know, one translation says it this way, where it says in the King James here, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. One translation said skilled living gets its start in the fear of God. In other words, you'll never figure out how to live life successfully unless you first fear the Lord and pursue His knowledge. So you got to acquire His knowledge, and you got to fear. Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Okay, what does that mean? Does it mean like terrified of the Lord? Well, no, that's not what it means. But it means to reverence and respect and honor Him. Yeah. Amen. And it would mean to put His word first place, right? You know, in other words, whatever His word says, well, that's the way we live. Amen. We don't live the way we might in our flesh want to live, you know. So, you know, because, you know, you're going to be dealing with, and I know I say this over and over again, but people need to hear it. You're going to be dealing with your flesh until Jesus comes back. You have to make it behave. Amen. You know, you just have to make it behave. It does things, it'll do things, say things, act ways that it shouldn't. And you just can't let it do it. So, and because you fear God, you change the way you live. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So one of the things that we have to work on in this area of living life skillfully is we have to understand that if we're going to do it, it begins by the fear of the Lord. In other words, we fear Him, we reverence Him and honor Him more than we do anything else. Right. In other words, what He thinks about me is more important than what people think about me. Amen. Amen. I don't change what I believe just so I'll have favor with people. Right. I'm going to have favor with God first. If I have favor with people, great, but if they don't, you know, because there's people that don't agree with what the Word says. You know, if you really, honestly, you know, the Bible says this, you know, it says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It didn't just say all that are in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It says those that live godly. So if you choose to live according to the Word, you're going to get persecuted. Now, this is the reason why the church compromises, so they don't get persecuted. But we shouldn't do that. Amen. We should fear God. I'm more concerned about what He thinks about it. I tell people, you know, if God's okay with it, I'm okay with it, you know. I'm okay with it. If he's not, you know, I didn't make the rules. He did. These aren't Oasis Church rules, right? Bible rules, right?
That's right.
And one of the things that we'll learn is if we fear God and we pursue His knowledge, one of the things we're going to learn is that God is not selfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on.
And that's the way He expects us to live our life. Matter of fact, Jesus was the example of being unselfish,
right.
Wasn't He? I mean, He gave His life. Actually, Acts says it this way, that God sent Him to bless you. He spent His whole life blessing people. Acts 10:38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So He went around in His ministry doing good. See, one of the things that you know, when you start out in ministry, I mean, it's been a long time, but I remember starting out in ministry, you can have wrong thoughts about it. You can think about, you know, the glory part, I'm going to get up in front of people, and I'm going to get love offerings, and a lot of times you find there's a lot more love than there's offering, but anyway. You learn, you know, you're just kind of dumb, you know, you just don't know it, and God will let you get away with that because He's put His anointing on you, He's called you, but then after a while, He'll start to deal with that and deal with you and try to get that selfishness out of you.
Amen.
Amen. And you begin to realize that, you know, it'd be a lot easier if I just did something else. I love being in the ministry, but let me tell you, working at something else would be easier. But you do it because of God, right? And you're not gonna be selfish with your life, right? All right, so as we begin to pursue the knowledge of God, as we fear God, one of the things that He's going to work on is He's going to try to get selfishness out of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Where we're no longer just thinking about ourselves all the time. Amen. Where we realize that there's more to life than just us. I don't know if you've looked around lately, but there's a lot of people on this planet besides just you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We're not getting on to you. We're just preaching the word. Amen. See, God said, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So the thing about God, see, the world will teach you, you know, you got to get all you can get for you. You got to look out for yourself. But the Bible teaches us you got to get all you can so you can be a blessing.
Amen.
You got to look out for other people. And then God said, "I'll take care of you."
Amen.
Now, who would you rather have taking care of you? You taking care of you or God taking care of you?
God.
I'd rather have God taking care of me. But did you know, listen, you know, like we've talked about casting your care on the Lord. You know, the Bible says this about casting your care on the Lord. God said, "Cast your care on me, all your care on me, for I care for you." Well, what you don't cast on Him, then He doesn't have that. You have to take care of that. So, but who would you, and the Lord said this to me, and I've told you this for repetition, but we need to hear it again. The Lord said this to me several years ago. He said this, you know, I just heard this just as plain as could be in my heart. Just like, it was like a voice was, well, it was a voice talking to me, but it wasn't an audible voice, but I heard just this as plain as could be. What you carry the care of, you're responsible for the outcome of it. And I thought, well, I don't want to be responsible for the outcome of too many things in my life. I mean, you know, I'm already married. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. I got a lovely wife. Hallelujah. We're staying married.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We're not thinking about trading spouses or trading off, you know, trading. She's not thinking about getting rid of me because I put on 20 pounds. She knows I'm working on it. It's part-time, but I'm working on it. It's just a part-time job with me, you know. Well, I'm working on it. Hallelujah. You know, but, you know, listen, you know, it's like a minister. He came preach for us. He said he had a guy get in his line one time, prayer line. I'm talking about selfishness, all right? I haven't lost my subject here. He said he had a guy get in his prayer line one time. He said, this guy, I'm laughing, but it's not funny. It just shows you how stupid people can be. A guy got in his prayer line one time, and he asked him, he said, "I want you to pray that God would get me another wife." Well, you know, when he heard "another," I mean, that's a key word. You know what I'm saying? That means you already have one, right? And he says, "What?" Yeah, he said, "My wife's hips are too big." Now, I'd have called his wife up there and let her kill him, but anyway. So he said to this guy, he said, how many children has your wife had? He said, six. So he said to him, he said, you pass six kids through your hips and see how big they get. He said, get out of the line, you're a nut. You know, that's just selfish, isn't it? Well, you know, my wife, she put on 20 pounds, you know. Well, I don't know if you looked in the mirror lately, but you ain't what you used to be. This isn't about us. It's about love, man. Come on. It's about, see, if you think of others first, then God takes care of you, see. Amen. I don't know if that was a little funny there, but it is an epitome of selfishness, you know. You know, well, they don't meet my needs any longer. Well, how about you meeting their needs and not worry about it? Amen. Now, let's go over to Genesis 12. Hallelujah. Amen. Genesis chapter 12. Glory to God. Like I said, pick a good one when you pick them because they're going to get older. Are you with me now? You know, oh man, him, yeah, man, he's got a hairy chest and a gold chain. Well, the hair is going to turn gray and the chest is going to drop to his drawers. So you better pick something you can live with later on in life. I've always said I'd rather marry, and I did. I married both. I'd rather marry Miss Fruit of the Spirit than Miss Gift of the Spirit any day. Amen. So you can get me healed. I want to be able to live with you. I don't care how you can lay hands on me in the middle of the night. I'm talking about to pray for me, carnal-minded people. Are y'all following me? See, this thing here, you know, people go, oh, man, look at him. Isn't he good looking? Look at her. Isn't she good looking? Well, yeah, maybe now, but I always tell people, I said, now wait a minute here. I know she's good looking, but you need to take a look at her mother. Well, I ain't going to marry her mother. Yeah, you are. That's what she's going to look like when she gets her mom's age. So don't just be picking this thing on looks. You better pick on some fruit. Pick some fruit off a tree. Amen. I don't know why we're off on this, but hey, I'm already married. I don't need it. Hallelujah. But let me just say something to you here. We have to learn. We have to learn through renewing of our minds, through, you know, because this is a process. This isn't like, you know, I'm going to preach four sermons on this and you're going to leave here just totally transformed and never have a selfish thought again. No, this is something you have to work at. This is a process, man. You have to, every day you have to think about it. Amen. Now, here in Genesis chapter 12, you find it? Verse 1, God said this to Abraham. He said, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. Well, you know, that was a sacrifice there. You know, leave everybody behind. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. Isn't that good? Well, here, look what he said. And make your name great. Isn't that good? Isn't Abraham's name great today? Sure. But notice this. And you shall be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. So why did he bless Abraham? To be a blessing. So he could be a blessing back. See? That's why he blessed him. So you have to ask yourself this. Is your mindset to be a blessing or just to be blessed? Do you seek all your life to be blessed or to be a blessing? Do you wake up every morning thinking about what can I get today? Or do you wake up thinking, who can I bless today? Big difference, isn't it? Remember what Jesus said? He said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. There's more blessing in it. Well, why would that be? Well, honestly, truthfully, because there's a return on that. in your life, see? See, it actually is more blessed to give than it is to receive because you get something back. How many like receiving? Just be honest about it. Isn't that good? But as good as that is, you know, being a blessing is even greater than that. Amen? So Abraham was called now. God said, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you great and make your name great. But he did it to be a blessing. Abraham's whole life was to be a blessing. You know, we're not going to go into this. We could, but I'm not going to take that much time. I'm not going to preach long this morning, maybe about 15 more minutes or so. But we could take the time to show you that Abraham is the reason why Jesus came into the earth, this covenant. When you look at it, you know, in Genesis 22, when Abraham was going to offer up his only son, God said, because you've done this, amen, that in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What he was simply saying, because you did this, I'm going to send my son. Hallelujah. Because of his unselfishness, amen. Now, go to the New Testament. I want to look at just a couple more scriptures here. I know we're not going long here this morning, but you can go get the other teachings on this. You can go to the media counter and get them this morning, or you can go to the website, or you can go to the podcast and get them, because I think you need to hear them. Amen. I really think we need to hear them, you know. Why? Because, well, you know, we're all working at this, amen? Yes. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to look at this, and I want to look at Ephesians. I think that's probably going to be it this morning, but I want you to realize that if you're going to have a blessed life, you got to be a blessing. Yeah. Amen. You got to give God something to work with. Yeah. Yeah. That was so good what Pastor Jerry was sharing this morning about bringing your first fruits, bringing God your best. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And you got to remember, just like he said, God said, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you're not consumed. Yeah. Yeah. Aren't you glad he doesn't change? What does that mean? He's merciful. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know, God is, like I said, Jesus is the example of unselfishness. He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister unto. Amen. Amen. He spent his life doing good and healing. You know, there was a time, I don't know when it happened, but there was a time in Jesus' life when he actually got revelation and he remembered what it was like before he came to the earth. Remember, he prayed to the Father, restore to me the glory I had with you before the world began. In that prayer time, some point, he remembered what it was like. You know, when the Bible says he humbled himself, we just don't have a clue how much he humbled himself. When we get to heaven, we're going to realize just how much he really humbled himself to come down here and live on this earth. And he did it willingly. Hallelujah. We have a I'll use me. I'm not going. I don't know about you, but I have a long ways to go. Amen. Because I still find myself, even preaching this message, I still have to correct myself. I think, oh, now I'm being selfish. Amen. That's one thing about preaching something. Then you know you get dealt with it first. Amen. You know, we can be selfish in small ways. You know, like you're cooking dinner, and you give the company the smallest steak and you take the biggest. And you act like you don't know what you were doing. Or you cut the pizza in 8 pieces and you take the biggest one. Well, how'd that happen? You know how it happened. Right? Or, you know, you eat the last piece of candy. Shame. It did get quiet, didn't it? Sorry. I've offended. Doth this offend you? Amen. Listen, you can be selfish in small ways. And see, you know, and you think, well, that's not a big deal. Well, yeah, it is. It shows something that we need to work on. Amen. It shows something. So we have to work on that. You know what I'm saying? Amen. And, you know, when this starts working in you, it starts touching every area of your life, not just the big things. It starts touching the small things as well. Amen. Next time we're out to eat, I'm going to just see whether you give me the biggest piece or not. Or you ever been there, you know, where you go out to eat with somebody, you know, And you don't tell the, you know, there's two couples, and you don't tell the waitress or waiter who's paying for the check, and so they just bring it back and put it in the middle of the table. And you turn around and you're looking at something, and all of a sudden you notice it's been pushed over on your side. Or you do the same thing, you know, it's like, you know. Or the waiter comes by and you say, hey, bring the check, he needs it. Are you with me now? See, this seems small, but it adds up, folks. You should be the one, you know, as believers, we ought to be the big tippers. Not just a track. You're going to give a track, put a good tip in it.
Amen.
Are you with me now? You know, I heard there's a guy, he's a Christian guy, and he does this every now and then. He does this, like, who are the big tippers, you know? And he did, like, celebrity tipping. It's amazing how cheap and stingy some rich people are. Christians shouldn't be in that group. He said the biggest tipper, and I don't know how they know this, but, you know, he said the biggest tipper was Hank Williams Jr. It should be a Christian that's the biggest tipper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, you know, he'll give you $50 as soon as you come to the table. If you do good, you get more. This isn't real spiritual, but it is part of our life, everybody. Amen.
Amen.
Now, did you find Peter?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what, we're on it today. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3. Well, you know, listen, we should be. You know, my wife has reminded me before, you know, because sometimes we've gotten not so great service. You know, most time we get really good service. Most people are good. But there's been a time, I remember one time, you know, somebody didn't give us really, really the greatest service and greatest attention. So I thought, well, you know, hey, so I'm going to, you know, as they have done unto me, so shall I do unto them. Real scriptural, right? You know, and Phyllis reminded me that they were a person. They were a human being, and that they had needs. And it's like, oh, I don't want to hear it. I want to be mean. So I tipped good, even. Amen. Are you with me now? Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 9. It says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Now notice this, you and I are to bless, knowing that we are thereunto called. We have a calling to bless. Now notice the rest of it, the last part of the verse. That you should inherit a blessing. What's that tell you? Well, it's a cycle. If you bless, you get blessed back. Now here's the good thing. God always blesses you more than what you blessed. Now the Lord showed this to me. I actually got a message I preach on this. Maybe I'll preach it sometime. It's called the blessing cycle. And what it's about is this. It's the fact that, you know, when God called Israel out as a nation, well, we actually saw it there with Abraham, because he was the beginning of the Hebrew nation. Abraham was. His calling out, you know, was the beginning. He was the first one called a Hebrew, was Abraham. And he was called out, and God said his calling was, I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. Okay, and in you all the nations or families of the earth will be blessed. God's purpose for calling Israel out was that Israel would bless the nations. In other words, God would bless them. Remember, he said, you will lend unto many and not borrow. You'll be the head, not the tail. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. Now, he actually told me, he said, now, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to, every seventh year, I want you to take that whole year off. Every seventh year is a Sabbath year to you. You rest. You let the land rest. You take the time off. And he said, I'm going to bless you so much in the sixth year that you'll have enough fruit to last you to the eighth year. So in other words, I'm going to prosper you so much in the sixth year, you could take a whole year off, and it'll carry you all the way into the eighth, ninth year. The blessing will be so rich. And God was doing that because he wanted the nations to see that you didn't have to depend on your own might, your own ability, your own strength to get ahead, that you could serve God and God would bless you. And they were to be a witness or a testimony of God, Jehovah. You have to understand, in those days, they believed in a multitude of gods, all kinds of gods. But God wanted the nations to see that Israel's God was the true living God. And so they were to be an example. They were to be a blessing, and they were to bless. They were to bless the nations, and they were to that was to be a cycle. Well, in our lives, in the church, God wants the church to be a blessing to the world. He wants us to bless, and so what happens is when we bless, Peter said, we're called to do it that we could inherit a blessing. So the cycle starts to go. It starts to. Remember what Jesus said? He said, give and it'll be given unto you. What? Now, you get the same thing back? No, good measure, pressed down, shake it together, and it'll still run over. Now, what does that tell you? Well, it tells me that giving, when we give, I'm not just talking about money. You can give your time and everything else. Money's involved. But when you give, it enlarges your capacity to receive. You get a bigger receiver. So what happens? Well, the more blessed you are, the more you can give. Amen. How many remember? I think his name was Nelson. There was different ones at the Rockefellers. Nelson, wasn't he the older man? Nelson. Okay. Pastor Jerry says, I know he knows. He was the older man, right? And did you know that when he was, I can't think it was in his 40s, he was dying? He was dying? I forget now what was wrong with him, but he had something wrong with him and he was dying. So he decided what he was going to do with the rest of his life is see if he could give his money away. And I think he died in his 90s, if I remember right.
Oh, wow.
He never did get it given away. But he thought, I was dying, and he thought, I'm just going to give it all away. So he started giving his money away, started blessing. Remember the March of Dimes? Remember the March of Dimes? I mean, he started that. So, see what happened here. Well, see, if and I don't, you know, and he was a, if I remember right, he was a deacon in his church, so he was a Christian. I don't know if he was all of his life, but he became a Christian. And he just couldn't outgive God. I mean, he started giving, and it just kept coming back. It became a cycle, see. And that's what God wants in our lives is that we bless, then he blesses us back bigger. Yep.
Right.
Then we give bigger. Yep. Then he blesses us back bigger. Amen. Are you with me now? Amen. See, you got to get into the cycle, amen? You got to get in his purpose, amen?
Yeah.
Are you with me now? You've got to do that. See, he can't bless you if you don't have anything to work with. Now, let's go to Ephesians. Did you get something today? Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you something here. This is so good in Ephesians chapter 2. You don't want to miss this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And go, if you weren't here for all these teachings, go get them. Because we really got into some things about not being selfish, breaking that off of our life, overcoming that. We're working on it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God for his mercy. If it wasn't for that, we'd be consumed. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, the King James says this, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. All right, so what did he have us born again, recreated in Christ Jesus? For good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God's before ordained us. Now listen to this. This is the Amplified Bible. Listen to what it says. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined. Listen to this now. Planned beforehand for us. Now listen now. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, I like this, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. And what is he saying? Well, when you can just see it in the King James if you just look at it. But what he's saying is God, each one of us, God has preordained paths for us to walk in that we would be a blessing. Good works. He's preordained paths so that we could be a blessing and be blessed back and live the good life. Remember our title of our message? How to Live a Blessed Life? God said, I've set it up for you. I've got preordained paths for you to walk in. I'm not in Evansville, Indiana by mistake. Are you with me? If I was going to make a mistake, I like Evansville, love people in Evansville, nothing wrong with Evansville, but it has winter. I would make a mistake in some place that doesn't have winter. Amen. I was looking the other day, what is the farthest point in the United States? I found out it's like Key West, Florida or something like that. So I thought, well, that's where I'd make my mistake at right there. You're not here by mistake. Right? Listen, God, and what we have to understand is that God has prearranged paths for us to walk in. So sometimes, you know, we're just going about doing our daily thing, and we're not even thinking about it, but yet God can prearrange us and have us to run into people that we're to bless, that we're to be a blessing to. Now, you know, I don't do this very often because a lot of this I don't trust it. But a lot of times, you know, you see people stand out and they're begging for money. How many see that in town? Well, you see that in foreign countries. You know, when you go to foreign countries, you stop at a stoplight or something. There'll be people that will be there. Some of them are aggressive. Some aren't. A lot of those people really, 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 truly need help. All right, there are some people that do it in our city that if they'd look to the north, south, east, or west, there's a place to get a job. Some of them, that is their job. I've seen them come back from lunch break before with their big slurp, you know, and their cheeseburger, you know. They're coming back to work. I'm not helping them. Okay?
Amen.
But I have had God, you know, speak to me. You're supposed to help this person. Now, when he does that, then I help him, you know. And I don't have to wait for him to say anything to help somebody if I really know there's a need. But you understand what I'm talking about. A lot of this is phony. This is not real, okay? I mean, if you can stand there on the corner all day long, you could probably work a job. That's the way I think about it. I mean, you know, standing's tough. You know, standing holding a sign, we'll work for food. That's a hard job. I'd rather have a real job where your mind's occupied doing something. Besides holding that sign, I will work for food. I thought, well, so do I. So, you know, we're doing the same thing. We're working for food. All right. So, but I have had, you know, I have had God to just speak to me. I know one guy, I saw him, and I'd never seen him before, and he was at an intersection. I'd never seen anybody there before, and I thought, that's unusual. And I thought, you know, I felt something inside of me said, help him. But then I thought, he's probably just... go get a job. How many know there's a generous side of you and there's a selfish side of you? Isn't there? There's the new creation that's the generous side that's in Christ, and there's that old man, you know, amen, that tries to resurrect every now and then. Right? He's selfish. And I thought, no. And I drove on, you know. And the more I drove on, remember how I left the lady at the side of the road with her van? You know, I was like remember I told you that story about the Good Samaritan? You know, I was like the priest and Levite, you know. You know, the priest, he wouldn't even look. He just went on the other side. At least the Levite was a little bit curious. He came over and looked at the guy and said, man, you're bad, and took off on the other side. He took the Samaritan to stop and help. The lady was on the side of the road with her van, and the hood was up and steam was coming out. And, you know, I'm driving by. I was on the other side of the road, and I felt something in me. Go back and help her. And I thought, somebody will help her. I'm busy. I got places to go. I got people to see. I got things to do. And so, but the further I drove, the more I felt that. And finally, I got to turn around and go back and help this woman. You know, sometimes God will test you out, right? And so I almost made it all the way home. And I might have made it home. I think I was on the turnoff to go into our area where our subdivision's at. And I had to turn around and go back to try to help this woman, see. And she was gone the time I got there, so thank God I didn't have to do anything. But anyway, but at least I passed the test. But this guy was standing there, and the Lord said, I want you to help him. I just heard that, help him, help him. And I thought, well, you know, I started reasoning. I just drove on, kept on going, you know. And I went home. You know, I felt bad all day long. I did. I felt bad all day long. Well, you shouldn't feel bad. Well, you should if you messed up. God will forgive you, but, you know, godly sorrow works repentance. I felt sorrow. I felt bad. And so, you know, you do one of those things. Lord, if you, I'm sorry, I missed it. If I see the guy again, I'll help him. You know what? The next day I went by there. There he was. This time I pulled over and helped him. That's the last I ever saw of him. Now, he could have been an angel for all I know. But God trying to teach you a lesson, see? Don't be selfish. Right? God will check you out. Amen? You got to pass the test, right? We got to pass this test. Amen?
Amen?
Did you get something out of this series?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God. So, once again, God has prearranged paths for us to bless and to be blessed. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times we want to be in the place where we receive the blessing. But before that happens, we got to be in the place where we are the blessing. Why I'm not going to? Well, wait a minute there. See, you got to be willing to step out, and give the total stranger. I've given. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. Just for example, okay? I don't even like to tell it, but I mean, I've given total strangers a few $100s. Just total strangers. I didn't know, because the Lord said, "Do it." I've also failed before. But see, when you do that, when you put yourself to be a blessing, because sometimes, matter of fact, I remember God one time, he said, I want you to give this amount of money to this. There was something going on. He said, I want you to give this amount of money. And I told the Lord, I said, well, that's almost everything I got, you know. He said, well, I didn't ask for what you didn't have. And they took up the offering, and I didn't do it. I thought, oh, man, I mean, that's almost everything I got. I mean, if you were just part of my kingdom, but not the whole kingdom. This isn't a day my kingdom wasn't very big at all, okay? So it wasn't, but it was big to me, right? You know what I'm saying? And so the Lord dealt with me. He said, I want you to do that, I didn't do it. Man, I tell you, I felt bad, man. It was in a service, and they were actually receiving an offering for this guest minister from Texas. And so I said, I want you to do that. And I didn't do it. And the whole service, he preached, and all. And I felt bad about it, And I just remember this because with the end of the service, we started worshiping the Lord, And I really started getting tender before God. And I really began to, do that Pentecostal wine thing. Oh, Lord. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, Lord. If you just give me another chance, I'll give that money. I didn't think it would happen. I really didn't. I thought I'm off the hook, but at least I'm, I'm snowing God here with, how bad I feel. I'm off the hook. It won't happen. God is my witness. I'd been in this church before, but I'd never seen this happen. The pastor got up. He said, you know what? He said, I feel led to take up Brother So-and-so another offering. I thought, well, I know why. Everybody else having to give because of Jonah here, man. He got on the wrong ship. You know what God wants to do with your flesh? He wants to burn it. He wants to burn it. Amen. And when it's burnt, it's a sweet aroma to him. I don't know how, but it is. He likes the smell of burning flesh. So every time God tests you in those areas, he likes the way that smells. Oh, don't that smell good? I'm burning their flesh off. You have to get your flesh burned off unless you want to be selfish all your life and never grow up and never live the blessed life. I want to live my best life now. Well, the way you live your best life now is living a blessed life by blessing others. That is the way you do it. That is the way you do it. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.